It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, it's time for us now to get into our conversation with our pastor, and that is supposed to be our, shall I call it, feature, which I was missing oh so much. And the feature I'm talking about is Chew on That. Let's see if we have our pastor. Pastor Njangase is supposed to be joining us. Pastor Njangase, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm well, Pastor. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm okay. From broadcast to baptism.
That's right. From broadcast to baptism. That's how we do it.
I like that.
All right. Am I correct? We are doing chapter 6 of the book of Exodus, correct?
We are quite correct, yes.
All right. So what we are doing, Mpundisi, is to read the full chapter, and then you give us brief comments, and then I start with my questions. Is that okay?
No, it's fine. It's fine, yes.
Lovely.
You can go ahead.
Lovely.
Yes.
So the book we're reading, or the chapter we're reading, is 30 verses, and they read as follows. This is Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they live as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and will with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, but about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families: the sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yakin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the sons of Levi according to their records. They were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. The sons of Gershon by clans were Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Kohath lived 133 years. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These were the clans of Levi according to their records. Amram married his father's sister, Yocheved, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uzziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Zithri. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab and sister of Nahshon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. The sons of Korah were Asir, Elkanah, or is it Elkanah, and Ebiasaph, or Ebiasaph. These were the Korahite clans. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." But Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with a faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You can bring us your comments, Pastor.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Greetings to the viewers, to listeners rather. Well, this chapter, as you said, it has about 33 verses. I'm looking at verse 1 first.
Sorry, Pastor. Does yours have 33? Okay. Mine is 30.
It's 30, yeah, you know, my mistake. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let me say that verse 1 of 26 is a response. God's response to the complaint of Moses in chapter 5, verse 22.
Right.
Whereby Moses was saying, "Lord, you have not delivered these people." And so God is now responding to say, I will deliver my people.
Right.
And that is one point I just want us to look at. Verse 2, we also discover that God is telling Moses that he's a self-revealing God,
right,
in that he appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom he was not known before.
Right.
And so God is simply saying that even though Pharaoh does not seem to know God, but I will make myself known to him.
Okay.
That is another thing which I pick there. And then in verse 3, verse 2 and verse 3, sorry, I can just put that together. And then I am looking at verse 4, that God is promising to give the nation of Israel the land of Canaan, which is so to his to their forefathers, Abraham in particular.
Right.
And then verse 5 is very much important to me. When the Bible says God have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel,
yeah,
whom the Egyptians have kept in bondage.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say that I've remembered my covenant. I think we can zoom in here, applying it to us today, that when we are crying to God, God may not answer quickly,
yeah,
but that does not mean he will be quiet forever.
Right.
His timing is known unto him.
Yeah.
At the right moment, he will respond, and he will respond positively.
Right.
That is one thing I'm noting there. And coming to verse 6 and 7 and 8, I see that Israel did not heed Moses.
Yes.
Because of the anguish of the spirit and cruel bondage.
Yeah.
So it also applicable when you are oppressed, you don't even listen to the voice of a person who's coming to deliver you, or who's bringing the news of deliverance. You may not even listen or hearken to that,
right,
because you are so used to being oppressed. Mm. We must not allow that kind of attitude to control us. Again, verse 10 and 11, you see a direct message from God through Moses,
yeah,
which is challenging at times even for Moses, because he seems not to be sure himself,
yeah,
as to whether God is going to fulfill his word.
Right.
That's then from verse 14 to 27, I see the family of Moses and Aaron I see some names are difficult to pronounce.
Yes.
Yes, but I can refer to Reborn, Simon, Levi, Gershon, Kahath, Merari, and others.
Right.
But more interestingly to me, I know we don't normally know the names of Moses and Aaron's parents. I want to us to bear in mind that the father is Amram
Yes.
and the mother is Jochebed.
Jacobed, yes.
That is verse 20. And that is a point of interest to me. And then also another point of interest is that is the sons of Aaron, which is Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar.
Yeah.
So the matter concludes by saying that the family of Moses and Aaron was also part of the genealogy, which was there before
Right.
they were born, which is the nation, the children of Jacob. And I also see that towards the end of the chapter, Moses is doubting his own capability to
Right.
speak to Pharaoh,
Right.
but the Lord says, "I will make you speak to Pharaoh." And we see that God is powerful enough to use even someone who's
Yeah.
self-doubting. So we as human beings, sometimes we are afraid of going out and share the gospel, but God says, "I will go with you.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead,
Yeah.
do my work,
Yeah.
because I am the one who created the tongue, and so I will enable you to speak."
Yes.
That's the summary of the whole chapter, which I can share with you at this stage.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's get into it, Mpunis. Let's get into it. First, we are seeing here the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh." At this stage, there are no plagues. God doesn't tell him how he's going to do it, but he makes a promise that is, in my view, vague. He says, "You'll see he's going to release them." And I'm trying to understand why did God not give the specifics here? Because in my view, it was as though he was setting Moses up for failure. I mean, had I known, if I was Moses, had I known that it's going to take 10 plagues, then I wouldn't be panicking. I wouldn't be worried. Because God here says, "I will do it. Go." Also said Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham," blah, 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 blah. Why didn't God give the specifics?
This is how God deals with us. It takes us steps by step. If you remember, Genesis should be 12. He says to Abraham, "Abraham, I will, you are going to the land. I'll show you." He's not mentioning
Right.
it immediately, that land
Right.
of Canaan.
Right.
But later he mentions it. So even here, I think it's the same pattern. At this early stage, God does not mention exactly, but this is also an assurance to Moses that God is going to deal with Pharaoh in any case.
Right.
Whether he's telling him how or not, God is capable of dealing with Pharaoh, whose stubbornness
Right.
is making the people to continue under his bondage, under Egyptian bondage.
Right.
To me, this is an assurance, but as you go further, you will now see that God is not only telling, but is doing
Right.
that those 10 plagues, which now would have given Moses the confidence that now God is really in action.
Yeah.
You know, is really softening the heart of Pharaoh. Unfortunately, Pharaoh's heart was hardened until 10 plagues he had
Right.
to undergo them. If I was Pharaoh, one was enough for me.
Yes. Yes. That's proof enough, indeed. Yes, Mpunis, I agree.
He complicated the issue for himself, and he suffered, and he lost a lot of things, including his own firstborn and the firstborn of his nation.
Right.
Yeah,
So
that's my take.
verse 6 then says, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." I don't know. This tells me that the Israelites didn't know God. God had to still introduce himself to the Israelites. Is that not true, Mpunis?
It's true because of the number of years in bondage. You know, As I said, when they are oppressed, you shut your own thinking. The oppressor thinks for you.
Okay.
This is the situation. It's the situation here. Mind you, they were not allowed even to worship this Jehovah because they were slaves. You know, there's a difference between working and slavery.
Right.
If you're a worker, we have the rights
right.
to rest
right.
and
right.
to go and worship. But if I slave, there is no chance. If
right.
if you recall somewhere before this one, Pharaoh was so angry when they were coming to trying to rest on the Sabbath. He thought they were lazy and sort of disobedient to him.
Yeah,
you see. So because of the number of years of oppression, they even forgot that there is a God in heaven. That is why God has to reintroduce Himself to them.
Yeah. So the truth of the matter, He was not the God of the Israelites because they didn't know this God.
They knew this God, but over the years, over time, because they had no time to worship Him. It's like today, a worshiper today, tomorrow, is a heathen. Once you fall away from grace, when I come to you, I speak about God. You don't know God at all, even though you knew Him before.
Oh, Mfundisi.
But after the fall, it's like we have never seen this God. We've never heard about Him. That's it.
Do we have people who were once Christian, and when they backslide, they just no longer know God? I mean, we've seen people who were pathfinders who sing, we are the pathfinders strong. Edda Shebeen.
Yes, yes.
We know those people.
Yes. Oh, yes.
While they're
yes.
drunk, they sing hymns. Now, you're telling me, Pastor, that you can forget? Like, literally, you could have amnesia and no longer know this God?
They do remember some of the good times with the Lord, but they're forgotten who the Lord is, because if they do remember, they won't do what they're doing. That's my argument.
I hear you, Mfundisi.
Yeah, I remember, if I may share a story quickly.
Yeah.
One Adventist fellow who was drunk, he was given coffee. And he rejected it. He said, "No, I'm an Adventist. I don't drink coffee." But he was
God, are you is?
Now, which one is worse, coffee or liquor?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So there is a bit of remembrance, but the knowing part of God is gone.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my point. Yes.
Okay. All right. And then it goes on to say, verse 8, "And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Again, we are seeing God promising people land that belongs to other people. And He mentions this repeatedly. He tells them that this land does not belong to you. It belongs to these people, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, and so forth and so forth. Can we safely say that this God is a God that is a God of the colonizer? He's a colonizer's God. He likes taking land that belongs to others.
Other people would love to say that, but you must know that in Genesis account, God promised this land to be given to Abraham's children.
Right.
Even though it took so many years, but God remembered the covenant. Because
right.
it was a covenant that He made with Abraham to say, your children will inherit this land.
Right.
And I remember the last time we spoke, I said, God cannot leave it unoccupied because it was going to become like a bush, uncontrollable. Wild animals were going to occupy it. God had to keep it busy by allowing some people to occupy it, even though at a later stage He will take it from them and give it to His children.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It bothers me. It bothers me, Mfundisi, because we always speak against colonialism and occupation. Mm. The Republic of South Africa, my country, is against the occupation of Gaza by Israel. All Palestinian territory is now currently occupied by the Israeli government. We stand against that, and many Christians hold the view that what the Israelites are doing is wrong. But as it turns out, this is a God of of annexers. Mm. This is a god of a nation that goes and takes land that belongs to other people. Should we not change our view and support what is done by Israel? Should we not stand and say, oh, our God is a god of an occupier? Our God is an occupying God, is a God that takes land that belongs to others and gives to other children. You take from your firstborn and give to your secondborn. Take from your lastborn, give it to your secondborn. You God that does that. That's our God, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Yes, again, his dealings with us are beyond our comprehension. If you read Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, his mind is not our mind, his ways are not our ways. So we cannot fully comprehend. We can only know as much. That is why heaven is our goal, whereby that which is not open to our minds now,
yes,
when we get there, God will open it up for us. We'll know.
Yeah.
For now, we see dimly, but later we'll see brightly, if I may put it that way.
I understand, Prince. But what I'm asking now is about what we preach. Mm. Should we not go on and be honest with ourselves and preach that our God is not a God of equality? We should stop preaching equality. We should tell people that our God is a colonizer.
Well, there is light and darkness, and God favors light and not darkness. There is a way that God has to prove his power against those who are practicing darkness, using those who are practicing the light.
By being a colonizer God.
Well, is a terminology that you can use today. But you remember also in the story of Noah, that God gave them 120 years of grace. They misused that grace. He had to destroy them and only save Noah and his family, who were going to, who knew God in the midst of those who did not know God.
Yeah.
So in other words, there's consequences. If we follow God, there is consequences.
Right.
If we disown God, there's also consequences. That is why these things are happening. But I'm coming back to my point. This was a promise which was made by God to Abraham many years ago, over 400 years ago.
I understand.
So God, in this case, God was only keeping the covenant which he made with their forefathers, is not really colonizing anyone. It's remembering the covenant.
Yeah, that's the covenant was to colonize. Even then, the land was still the land was still owned by the Canaanites. Even then, during the time of Abraham, when Abraham arrived there, he even had to buy land from the Canaanites. So he was to, okay. Let's move on from this. It just breaks my heart.
Yes.
And then let's talk about the incest, Mfundis, of this man sleeping with his father's sister. Let's just get that clear. Amram, verse 20 says, Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine she was an old beauty if he's gonna marry his father's sister.
Well, it's just that these are the early times of human history in a way. So the culture of marrying within the family or within the extended family was still a practice. Remember Abraham and Sarah?
Right.
They shared the father, but not the mother.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, but later on, as the people were expanding in the world, God had to shift the paradigm and begin to say, no more. Don't marry within your siblings. Marry people who are not of your blood, relatives.
Yeah,
it looks as an incest here, but as I'm saying, this is early times.
It may have been early times, Mfundisa, from the very word go. Can we just say it honestly? Let's be honest, Mfundisi, with our people who listen to Christians.
Mm.
God's original plan was Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And God's original plan was Adam and Eve is going to have children, and those children are going to be sleeping with one another. So God's original plan was incest. The original plan was monogamy, and the original plan was incest.
Well, I don't know whether that is too strong a word to use, but but again, whom would they marry? Because these were the only people
were
there.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And so God could have created Lilith and Stephen, so that Lilith and Stephen can have their own children, and Adam and Eve can have their own children, and then they intermarry. God didn't choose that. God didn't plan it that way. God planned Adam and Eve. And the only way that God had in mind was incest. So effectively, if we agree and accept that God's original plan for marriage was monogamy, we must also accept that monogamy produces these children, and there was no other plan but incest, which means monogamy was the original plan and incest was the original plan.
Well, I'm not God to agree or to disagree.
Well, I'm not really talking about God. I'm talking about the text now. As we read the text, the text tells us that God's original plan was incest. And we're seeing proliferated all these generations. It only gets stopped at Leviticus. Once they receive the Levitical law, then the Levitical law says, no longer shall you sleep with your aunt, your mother's, father's wife, blah, 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 blah. All those relatives. No more cousins for Abraham. No more stepmother for Amram, and so forth and so forth. No more cousins for Jacob. So all of this was stopped only at Sinai when they received the Levitical law. But between Genesis and Leviticus, we're seeing incest through and through by God's design.
Well, I think God had no choice here, as I said earlier.
God had no choice. there
was no choice. These are the only people.
God had a choice. He could have created another couple.
Available to one another. But as you have alluded to the Leviticus law, now you can see that at that time it was conducive for people to go as far as they can to marry people not of their own family and siblings. But early, it looks like people were related to one another. Like in the event of Noah, these three sons were related to one another.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes, yes, yes.
So there was no way at that time. That's my take. But as the time goes, God is shifting the paradigm now. He's no longer allowing it. He causes this incest. He's even against it, if we read the scripture correctly.
Yes.
He's even against it today.
He's against incest from Leviticus, Mfundisi.
Yeah.
God didn't see anything wrong when the daughters of Noah were raping Noah.
Well, some of the things we cannot just be absolute about them.
Well, there's no record of God objecting to the incest perpetuated by these women through raping their father. God doesn't object here to Amram sleeping with his father's sister. God doesn't object to Jacob sleeping with the sisters. But he stops it. He stops the marriage of sisters in Leviticus. So what I'm suggesting, Funis, is the truth of the text. Forget about how we feel. Forget about present day feelings. The truth of the text is God's original plan was both incestuous and monogamous. We must, if we're going to push monogamy, we must push that the original plan was a monogamy, and the reproductive product of that was going to be incest. Let's push both. Those are both truths that we read from the Bible, isn't it, Mfundisi?
Well, I agree with you in terms of monogamous type of marriage, but with incest, I'm only saying early times. It was only for a given period. It was not really something that is going to go on and
forever.
On and on, even up to
so
now.
So it was God's plan for a short period of time.
For a short period, yes. That's my take.
Yeah, but it was still God's plan, right, Mfundisi?
Well, I wonder whether it was his plan or because there was no other way.
God could have created. Are you suggesting that God would really be hamstrung? Okay, Mfundisi, let me leave it there. Our time is up.
We'll
talk again on Friday, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your
time. On Friday. Okay,
yes,
then thanks. God bless you, man. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mfundisi.
All right. Thank you. Bye to all of you. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.